Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, April 15th, 2019. It's Memorization Monday. This is our ninth verse, our ninth week of covering verses out of 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart. So I'll start out with the verse, and then we'll have some great discussion. And I can't wait to share the special guest that's patiently waiting online. We've already prayed up the program, and so we trust that God will use it in your heart. He's using it in our heart, and as only God can do, we pray it'll be a blessing to you. But today's verse is Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." And by way of review, because last week was very similar, it was Romans 10:9. I'll read that and then read Romans 10:10 again, kind of to set the context and set the pattern of what we'll be talking about today. But last week, when Huey Freeman was in the studio, and it was really a special interview, we talked about Romans 10:9 that says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." Now, Huntley Brown joining with us. Oh, for those of you that were here this past week with the concert and the Sunday morning service, I know you're still blessed. But, Huntley, thank you for being available. I asked you when you were in town, could we call you up? And I told some of our listeners there's a good chance we'll have them on Memorization Monday. So thanks for being available.
Mark and Marion, it's an honor to be here. Really grateful for the way the Lord is using both of you guys to make a difference for his kingdom.
I don't know what I like best about your recent visit, if it was the Sunday morning service, which, to use maybe a baseball illustration, it was a grand slam or a football, it was a touchdown. He fired up Pastor Bob. I think I talked about
this
on one of the programs. Bob was like, "Amen, brother." And Bob was like, "We were like experiencing the third heaven." And,
wonderful.
And I stood. Those two were talking, and I think I was telling you all about it.
Yeah,
I was just mesmerized by their understanding of the gospel and their passion for God's inerrant word and how they saw God working through people and such, and ways that the church needs to be in the forefront and all these things. So I love that. But then there was more.
Yeah.
Esther, Holly, and I got to go out to lunch with Huntley. Uh-huh. And so we had an hour's worth of testimony of sharing. We went to a Chinese restaurant, and there were some conversational English students there. So we got to introduce Huntley Brown to them and so forth. So that was a blessing. And then that evening when he put on his presentation, it was just a blessing, and so many people loved it. And so thank you for being available with your busy schedule. And what part of the world are you traveling to next?
Well, you know, I'm going to be in the country for a little bit. I think I go to Jamaica again in, I think, May, June, somewhere in there. But as to traveling internationally, there is nothing on the books right now. Praise God. You know, I'm getting ready for my daughter to graduate from college.
Oh, my.
So I got to make sure I stay close to home for a little bit. Oh.
Now, is this the daughter that's the track star?
That's right. That's her.
If you follow Huntley Brown and Facebook friend him, you're going to see some videos of his daughter leading the pack and finishing in first place. And, Huntley, what I love, one of the many things I love about you, your passion for God, your desire to preach and proclaim the good news message, that you love his word, that when I said, "Hey, might you have an interest in sharing about Romans 10:10, you said, "No problem, call me up, I'll do it." Your love for your family and your daughters and just so many things. But when you text Huntley Brown, he texts me right back. We've carried on email conversations, and he's like, I have said this about Ivan Parker, very approachable. I don't want to say he's just one of the guys, but you just feel like an instant connection and a friendship, and you're very thorough and thoughtful, and you're really a good guy.
I try hard. I'm just trying to be like you. You're a good guy too, trust me.
Very nice.
Well, thanks for being available. Marianne's going to read a couple pages, and we'll talk a little about it, and then I want to hear some of your testimony, or actually I know some of it, but I want to have you share that with our listeners, and then the recent book that you wrote, it's worth preaching.
Oh, man, thank you.
It'll preach.
Happy
yeah,
to.
Sure.
Okay, this is our ninth verse, Romans 10:10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. In his book, Scripture Memory for Successful Soul Winning, Oscar Lowry confesses that when he began training for Christian ministry, he had an undisciplined mind. He didn't believe he could memorize verses, so he filled the flyleaf of his Bible with references helpful for counseling. When talking with others, he'd turn to the front of his Bible, find a suitable passage, then look it up and read it. This was a workable plan, but not the best one. Lowry finally determined, if I can memorize one verse, then I can memorize one more, and 10 more, and even 100. Rising early the next morning, he chose Romans 10:9 through 10, even though it seemed to him like a difficult place to start.
Mm-hmm.
He paced across his room, repeating these verses, muttering them over, trying to hammer them into his head. I will do this thing, he told himself, and within a half hour, he had the verses memorized. The next morning, he reviewed Romans 10:9 through 10, then memorized another verse. He kept adding a new verse every morning while diligently reviewing the prior ones. Months later, it dawned on him he could repeat 100 verses without looking at his Bible, and that the work was becoming easier as his brain adjusted to its new patterns of memorization. By the time of his death, Lowry had learned more than 20,000 verses.
Now say that again, in case you're like, wait, what? This is a guy that said he didn't think he could even memorize a verse?
20,000 verses, about two-thirds of the Bible, and could locate each with chapter and verse. It all began with Romans 10:9 through 10. In memorizing Romans 10:9 through 10, notice that both verses speak of twin actions that enable us to claim salvation. We believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths, but the order is reversed in the two verses. Verse 9 tells us to confess with our mouth and to believe in our hearts. Verse 10 explains that we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths. That's not a contradiction. It's a mirror image of the process. Quote verse 9 and then learn verse 10 as if looking at verse 9 in a mirror.
Hmm?
I like that. Scholars call this an ABBA format. ABBA.
Hmm.
Verse 9 gives us the order from the outside in, and verse 10 gives us the order from the inside out. The two actions happen at once as we believe in our hearts that Jesus has risen from the dead. Therefore, we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Add verse 13, and you've mastered the entire, quote, Roman road.
Hmm.
And here's a quote from A.B. Kendall. It takes only a few brief words to enter the married life, but it will take thousands of confessions of love through word and act to live the married life. We enter the Christian life by faith in Christ and by confessing Him as Lord and Master of our lives, but it takes the remaining days of our lives, our confessions of Him as Lord, by our words and by the deeds of our lives, to live the Christian life. A.B. Kendall.
Well, our special guest, Huntley Brown, internationally known for his piano artistry and his love for the Lord. You've been saying Jesus is Lord for a number of years. Take us through some of that journey.
You know, it's amazing listening to what Marianne just read, you know, because it ties into saying Jesus is Lord. And why do you say Jesus is Lord? Because we have confessed with our mouth and we have believed in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what I love about the passage and the devotion she read is it's a two-part, not either or, it's both and, as we would say, both and. And what I mean both and, anyone can say anything. But do you truly believe in your heart that Jesus is truly Lord of your life? I love what the author mentioned about memorization. You know, when I do lectures at universities, one thing I tell the students is this. Start to learn a piece until you have memorized the piece.
Mm.
And what I mean by this, once you have the piece memorized and you do not have to look on the page anymore, then you can start really making music internally.
Interesting.
It starts coming from your heart. And I believe in it. When you go through scripture, you find so many different passages where the scripture says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart," in Psalm 119, where David said, "So I might not sin against you." And another very important scripture is in, I think, Matthew 15, where Jesus says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me."
Right.
So that means it's a two-way street. It has to be our heart connecting to what our mouth are saying. So if you go back to the Old Testament, we will see where God rejected Eliab. And what God said to Samuel at the time was, "Man looketh at the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart."
Mm.
So I was really blessed by the devotion. And so we can say, praise the Lord, Jesus is Lord for sure, because we have confessed with our mouth and we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead.
Yeah, that's a great one. Do you have a personal favorite verse, or are you like Pastor Jason? I think Dr. Dave Webb used to say, the verse I'm working on at the time is my favorite verse. Yeah.
Man, how much time do you have?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I love one of the verses, I should say two verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
"Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not." And once again, here comes the heart again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. And what I love about that verse is saying, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Because that verse is saying, our own understanding has been contaminated by the world's thinking, etc. But God is saying to us, do not lean on the way we think about things. Let's trust in Him with all our hearts. You know, verse 6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Man, I could be here preaching on that all day.
Yeah,
preach on.
Those are powerful verses.
Yeah, that's the first verse I ever memorized, like 50. I'm looking at our sheets to see if that's on there somewhere.
Matthew.
I know eventually, I don't know how many weeks or months away,
oh, the
maybe
trust
a year
on your,
or two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's a...
A lot of people love that.
There verse. It is, week 38, 39.
Oh, my goodness.
So, about a year from now.
Yeah, we're on week 9.
You know, Mark, one thing I should say quickly, though. When the verse says all, a friend of mine would say to me, what does all mean? I'll give you what all means. All means all, and that's all means. That's all you got to remember.
I like
all
that.
All means all, and that's all means. Well, here's why it's important. Today is tax day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gee.
And I'm sure people are saying, God, what am I going to do?
That's right.
The verse is saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding. In all your ways. That means even with taxes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's powerful.
You can trust God with your taxes. You know, you might be looking for a last minute out, and God is saying, let me show you exactly what to do. So just trust Him with all your heart and watch God work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm trying. I think it was Colossians 3:23 or 3:28. You know, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart,
all
as
your
working
heart.
For Lord, not for men. That's another great verse that, you know, giving it your all. Or whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. That whatever, or like all, do it all. You know, whatever you do, that's like everything that you do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and great verse.
So, Huntley, where is that verse about man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside?
Or? I think that's in 1 Samuel 16.
I like that.
1 Samuel 16, I think, look about maybe verse 7, somewhere in there. 1 Samuel 16, because that's when God sent David to anoint a new king. And what's interesting about this verse, when David got there, he looked at Eliab and he said, man, this was easy. God's anointing stands right here. But I think if you look at verse 7, God says to him, no, do not consider his appearance or his height. For man looketh at the outward appearance, but God looketh at the heart.
It's a good verse.
Powerful verse.
Yeah, what's that song of the shepherd? Maybe I can find it before the end of the program, but it's the one where the shepherd boy, we saw David as the shepherd boy, but God saw him as the king.
I don't know
that's
that song.
Right. Yes.
Oh, that's a class. I don't know if it's like a Ray Bolts or something.
Oh.
But it's
I feel
it's
out of touch.
I don't remember the name of it, but some say a shepherd boy, but God sees a king.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, maybe we'll close out the program with that. We'll see.
Yeah.
But you've had a faith journey that's been a real special one. Can you share a little of that?
Yes, I grew up in Jamaica, I should say, you know. I've been in America since 1984. And my faith journey was interesting because I grew up in a Christian home. That means I learned about Jesus, going to Sunday school, going to church. We'd have devotions in school. But that did not make me a Christian. And I remember everything changed one Friday night at church. An American missionary came and he showed a film called The Burning Hell. And I kid you not, I remember I was one of the first ones to the altar that night to give my heart to the Lord. After that, when I got up the next morning, I knew something had changed within me. You know, because I'd prayed the prayer of salvation before, but I just did not feel like I was saved. But after that night, everything shifted, everything changed, and I knew something internally happened. But then the journey went on that I got to college, making a long story short. When I got to college, I went to Georgetown University in Elgin, Illinois, and Georgetown is a wonderful Christian institution. After graduating from Georgetown, I went to do my master's degree at Northern Illinois University. When I got to Northern, I was encountering people from all different faiths, atheists, agnostics, Muslims, Hindu, you name it. And they were asking me questions I really did not have adequate answers for at the time. Questions like, why do you believe what you believe? How do you know there is a God? How do you know the Bible has not been tampered with? And so what happened, I said to myself, Huntley, you need to have a meeting with yourself.
Hmm.
I mean, sincerely. So I sat down with myself and I asked some questions. I said, Huntley, why do you believe what you believe? And when I examined my belief system, I discovered that my belief system was not based on my own critical thinking, but on what I heard from my parents, my brothers, my pastors, etc., you know? And I said, but what if there's something that they believe and taught me that was wrong? How would I know? So I decided I had to go on a journey to discover truth for myself. And I went on the most amazing journey. And I mean, now I can answer all their questions. As a matter of fact, that's what, part of the reason I wrote the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the book is called Keys to Avoiding Deception. And some of the questions I was trying to address in the book is, why do you believe what you believe? Who are you? I want to ask the question, who are you? You know, we're in Chicago, we talk about Michael Jordan, how we love Michael Jordan. And many times people say, who's Michael Jordan? We'll say the greatest basketball player to ever play the game, and that's true. But Michael Jordan no longer plays professional basketball. So who is Michael Jordan today?
Mm-hmm.
This showcases the need of not processing your identity through your skin color or what you do for a living. We must allow God to define us and then simply go with his definition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So once I went on this journey, I discovered that there's a God. And I must say one other quick thing. One of the first things I answered in the journey was, is there a God? How do I know for sure that there's a God? And when I looked at the evidence, the conclusion I drew was, it takes more faith to be an atheist than a Christian.
Yeah.
Because the evidence for a God is overwhelming. No one can in good conscience look at the amount of evidence we have and say there's no God. The correct question would be, who is the God who put this all here?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no doubt based on the evidence that there is a God. And so after that, I was good to go. Mm-hmm. That's basically my journey in a nutshell.
Wow.
And then when did you feel the calling from the Lord to turn your music skills, because you were self-taught, into a ministry where you were going to go out and perform and present all over the country and the world?
Yes. You know, here's what's interesting about that. When I was in high school, I wanted to become a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I kid you not. And then as time went on, I discovered that God had given me this gift to play music. And then early on, I had to make a major decision. It was a life-changing decision as a young person because I started playing professionally at 16.
Mm. Wow.
In the process, I remember being on stage one night. And until the time, everything changed. I'm on stage and we are here singing songs about drugs. Now, I have never done drugs in my life. And I'm on stage singing and playing songs with the band about drugs.
Mm.
And I got convicted.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Lord, how can I be a Christian? And I'm on stage singing songs about drugs. And so that night, I went on a beach, and it was a beach in Jamaica, in Otarius. And I sat on this boat. And I said, God, you gave this gift to me to play the piano. Tonight, I am giving it back to you.
Mm. Praise God.
And I called the band members together. They literally thought I had lost my mind. I mean, and they're saying, Huntley, what are you doing? We are about to go to Europe. We're in the recording studio. We were recording at LP at the time. And here comes the keyboard player saying he's leaving to play full-time for Jesus. But what I did at the time, I realized I had to define success. And I said, Huntley Brown, you know, what would success look like for you? Is success going to be playing at Carnegie Hall, traveling the world, making money? And I said, no, that is not true success. And I define success as being in the perfect will of God, doing what God created and put me on planet Earth to do. Once I discovered that and realized I define success, I went into my prayer closet and said, God, here I am. How can you use me? And I offered my gifts and my talents to the Lord. I said, Lord, wherever you take me, as long as I'm walking in obedience to you, I will be successful. Whether I'm playing before 80,000 people or playing before 30, it doesn't matter. As long as, God, I'm just following your direction, I'll be all right.
Well, that just about makes me cry. I just want to say thank you for coming and playing for us.
Oh, you're welcome.
You know, one thing you said earlier, and I think it's really important for the listener that's tuned in today, those that maybe attend church or are senior saints, to maybe the skeptic that's just driving through, but you talked about identity and recognizing your identity in God. What would you say to that person, that skeptic, that individual that maybe doesn't understand that concept that there's a God that loves them?
You know, what I'll say regarding identity is this. Ask yourself a very important question. Who am I? If you were going to answer that question honestly, what would you say? You know, over the years, I've heard people say, I'm a farmer, I'm a doctor, I'm a musician, I'm a student. And I keep telling them, that is not who you are. What happens if you change your profession? Who are you then? And I believe each person needs to go on a self-discovery journey to figure out who they are in Christ. You see, if you're going to know the purpose of anything, you have to go back to the Creator. And in the starting place of this journey has to be, okay, I know that I did not create myself. Someone created me. So it's imperative that I go on this journey to discover who my Creator is. And once I discover who my Creator is, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Why am I here? Why did He put me on planet Earth? He put me here for a purpose. And, you know, the scientists and doctors will tell you that your unique, your fingerprint is the only fingerprint in the world for you. That means there's no one with a duplicate. And if you have 7 billion people in the world, that is truly amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So you are a unique individual, purposely created by God to accomplish incredible things for His kingdom. So you have to ask yourself the question now, how do I discover my purpose? And what I say in discovering your purpose is start with honesty. And I tell everybody, make sure you're intellectually honest. Because there are many people, I believe, who are intellectually dishonest.
Mm.
You look at the evidence, and the evidence says, and here's a good example. When people tell me there's no God, I say, how is this possible? Why is the earth perfectly placed regarding the sun? That if we were any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. Any further away, we'd freeze to death. Is that possible? No. And I could give list scientific evidence after scientific, you know, fact to prove that case. So once you start there by saying, yes, there is a God, the next question is, who is this God? And that's when you can go on a journey, because God said, if you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So that's not Hunter Brown saying this to the people. It's God saying this through His word. If you seek me, so I challenge my friends, why don't you go on a journey? And you say, just pray this prayer. Say, God, if you are really real, if what they are saying on the radio about you is true, can you show it to me somehow this today or this week?
Yeah.
Just pray that prayer and see what happens.
Amen.
So that would be my challenge to anyone who's listening, who's questioning the God factor, questioning their identity. I would say, just pray this prayer. Just say, God, if you're really real, can you show it to me in some way, shape, or form this week?
It's a great prayer.
And let's see what happens. And ask the people to, if they can write to you, Mark and Marianne, to tell you of stories. I believe you're going to hear some amazing testimonies of God revealing Himself to people after praying the prayer.
Well, you wrote a great book that walks people through some of those difficult questions. It's called Keys to Avoiding Deception, Keys for Living. How would our listeners get a copy of that?
They can get a copy through our website, which is huntleybrown.org, huntleybrown.org, or they could call our ministry at area code 630-907-0537. But tell them, once you just Google Huntley Brown Keys to Avoiding Deception, and it should pop up. But the best way is by just going to our website.
Okay, and if a listener, you're driving along and you didn't get to write it down, just call the station. We'll have that information available, huntleybrown.org, and the phone number, Karen will have that for you. Well, Huntley, we got to go. We can't wait to have you back or to see how the Lord will raise you up to do some other things. I know we're praying that maybe the calling to be a pastor and not to travel as much is maybe in the horizon. So I'd ask our listeners to be praying how God will continue to work in and through you. And thank you for coming and blessing so many of us last week and being a part of today's Memorization Monday, which I'll close out with our verse. It's Romans 10:10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. May we all confess that today, that Jesus is Lord, and follow in his footsteps as he guides us through this very day. Thank you, Huntley, for being available.
You're welcome. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you guys again in the future.
Thank you, Huntley.
All right, everyone. Another Memorization Monday verse for us to work on this week, Romans 10:10. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
One by one, Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. Each one passed, except the last. No one thought to call him, for surely he would never wear a crown. But when others see a shepherd, God makes you king, even though your life seems filled with ordinary things. In just a moment, he can touch you, and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God.